Brian, what do you hope not know?
Keep all of this. Let's show the audience just how hard it is to podcast.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the No Sidebar Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gardner, and I'm here to help you identify the things that stand in the way of building your online business. Together, we'll learn how to eliminate the unnecessary, increase conversion, design a better business, and build a more beautiful web. So last week, I answered 5 questions that have been frequently asked of me. And as you may recall, the first one was about the backstory of No Sidebar. I talked about a book that I read back in 2013, which played a huge role in my quest for a simple life, and ultimately was the foundation of what we're now calling No Sidebar. Before I go any further, I have a few things I'd like to say. No Sidebar is brought to you by Authority Rainmaker, a carefully designed live educational experience that presents a complete and effective online marketing strategy to help you immediately accelerate your business. Don't miss the opportunity to see Dan Pink, Sally Hogshead, punk legend Henry Rollins, and many other incredible speakers. Not to mention the secret sauce of it all, building real-world relationships with other attendees and having the chance to sit down and enjoy a cup of coffee with me at Starbucks. Get all the details right now at rainmaker.fm/event, and we look forward to seeing you in Denver, Colorado this May. That's rainmaker.fm/event. Okay, let's get the ball rolling here. So that book I mentioned, Packing Light, was written by a special person. Her name is Allison Vesterfeld, and not only has she become a very good friend of mine, she just so happens to be on today's show. It felt right asking her to come on, because I really don't think No Sidebar would be here today if it wasn't for her book. It really was that impactful. I honestly don't remember how I came across the book, but it led me to her website, which at the time was built on WordPress. A few weeks later, I went back to her site and noticed that it had been moved to Squarespace, which I thought was odd. So I did what every normal WordPress fanatic would do, which is send a direct message to her husband, Daryl, a guy I had never met. I don't remember exactly what I wrote, but the gist of it was, "Hey man, curious why you switched your wife's site over to Squarespace." I was pretty surprised when he wrote back right away, and we exchanged a number of geeky messages about that decision. Around the same time, I was in the process of designing the beautiful pro theme we sell over at StudioPress. I offered it to him as a peace offering and said, "Hey, I'll give you this theme I'm working on for free if you want to move Allison's site back to WordPress." He accepted, moved her site back, and I think a few weeks had passed when Daryl asked if I'd be open to meeting up with them. They were promoting the book and knew that they would be up here in my area, so naturally I said yes, and we met up at a very special place in Oak Park. And while we were there, she gave me something. The rest is pretty much history, and let's fast forward to where we're at today. Now I have the privilege of introducing my good friend, author of Packing Light, and fellow contributor over at No Sidebar, Allison Vesterfeld. So why don't we recount that first day when we met?
So we met at Starbucks that day, I think because you and Daryl started communicating, and we met at Starbucks, and I handed you a copy of my book. I don't think I really expected you to read it, because I hand lots of people copies of my book. And then within a couple of days, you had written about it on your website and seemed like the book had really impacted you.
Yeah, I don't think you have any idea how much it really did impact me. And I don't think when you gave me the book, Packing Light, you had realized it had been 10 years since I had actually finished one. And I'll blame my wife, Shelley, for revealing that secret.
That was so funny when I heard her say that. She just said, "You know, I knew he must have liked that book because I've never seen him read a book start to finish like that since we've been married, and he couldn't put it down." So anyway, it's always fun to hear as the author of a book.
Yeah, so there were so many things that resonated with me as I read through the book, but one thing in particular stood out. You have this gift to unapologetically be you, and I have to admit how infectious that is. You and I have talked a number of times about being unfiltered, but I think it's something that many people have a problem with. Maybe it's fear or a lack of confidence, but the bottom line, though, is that so many of us struggle with it. I found that it was the stories and emotions you shared when you were scared and when you questioned your journey the most. Those were the ones that in my head I was thinking, yes, yes to.
It's so funny to hear you say that because I think, well, you're definitely not the first person who has said something like that to me, but oftentimes, you know, when I'll travel and speak about the book, I'll have people come up to me and say, "Wow, you were so vulnerable. I can't believe you shared about such and such." And they'll tell, you know, they'll repeat back to me a story I told. And suddenly when they say it, I think to myself, oh my gosh, you're right. Why did I tell that story? I can't believe I did that. But, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't know if I can say it comes naturally, or maybe I just am not thinking about it in the moment, but it just sort of is kind of, what you see is what you get. Every once in a while, I'll have a moment where somebody will say, I can't believe you wrote about that thing with your marriage or something like that. And I'm just like, whoa, yeah, I guess I can't believe I did that either. It's like all of a sudden in a moment, it becomes clear to me that that was a really vulnerable thing to do.
Personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with being vulnerable. And as someone who typically has no problem wearing his feelings and emotions on his sleeve, I can say that fairly confidently. One of the things I struggle with the most, though, is validation and approval. This goes way back to my childhood years, and these days with social media, it's totally magnified. I know that you and I have talked a lot about this before, and it's interesting to me, though, to see where people draw the line. I know I've probably overshared myself on a number of occasions, but I think that line is quite wide and quite gray. I don't know. I guess the key to all of it, though, is simply establishing some degree of balance, right?
I do think there's a healthy balance, but I can remember probably a little over 4 years ago now when I had first kind of quit my job to be a full-time writer. And I had been on Twitter for a while, but it was the first time that I was blogging and sharing links to my blog on Twitter and sharing really strategically and intentionally on Twitter in order to drive traffic to my site. And I have such vivid memories of sitting at my kitchen table and typing out a tweet or typing out, you know, a link to, you know, a tweet and then a link to my blog post and sitting there for like 30 minutes staring at it, editing it, trying to fix it, trying to make sure, think to myself, what could somebody say about this? Is somebody going to be mad? You know, and just like so much energy and so much time wasted over worrying about how people were going to respond to this or think about it. And, you know, I probably had 300 Twitter followers at the time. And now I look back on that and just think like, man, that was so much energy and time I wasted worrying about what other people were going to say about me or think about me or wonder about me or how they could possibly respond. And there's such freedom in just knowing, you know, that you're not in charge of how people are going to respond to what you think or what you say. And just having the freedom to kind of be you and put yourself out there, there's definitely a ton of freedom in that.
So a few months ago, I came across an interview on The Great Discontent with Ruthie Lindsay, who I know you guys are friends with. She said something in that interview, I have to admit, was one of the most ridiculously accurate and truthful things I've ever heard. She says, all of us are longing for connection and authenticity, and what we believe will repel people does the exact opposite. Now, the irony behind that for me, saying how much I agree with it, is that I'm still afraid of what people think and how they'll respond to things I do and say. That's funny, I remember once Brian Clark telling me a story about a night he purposely tweeted a bunch of things to get people to unfollow him. And just like what Ruthie said, it did the exact opposite. He got a bunch more people to follow him. I think that's why I enjoyed your book so much, because throughout your journey, you did and said so many things that I thought to myself, man, I wish I had the courage to do that or to say that. Well, I guess that's something I can just go ahead and work on, right? All right, let's change things up a bit and talk more about the show. We've talked about authenticity and trying our best to be ourselves, and that's something I really want to address as time goes on. In the first episode, I talked about the fact that I wanted to have a flexible format for the show, but what I failed to mention was the reason behind that. Now, I set out to make this a long interview format, but as I sat down to do the first one, I felt like a deer in headlights. And this is the unfiltered side of me coming out here, but it was really tough. I couldn't believe how hard it was to come up with good questions and to talk elegantly throughout the interview. So I called up Robert Bruce, who's the vice president of marketing for Rainmaker and the podcast network, as you know, and practically had a meltdown. And was thankful that Robert was gracious enough to walk me off the ledge, and he helped encourage me kind of think through some of the format options we had. I finally realized what I was doing, and that was what I thought everyone else wanted me to do. And I'm a firm believer that when we're outside of our comfort zones, we have a much harder time trying to succeed. But often, I think we put ourselves in these situations and scenarios that we think we should be in. It's almost like we lose ourselves in the ideas and the production of it all, and that can sometimes be crippling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what you're talking about makes me think about how, you know, you can think you're a pretty authentic person and that you're fairly open and you're unfiltered or whatever you want to call it, and then put a camera on you or a mic in front of your face and, you know, somebody says, all right, we're recording. And suddenly it's like all the things you thought were so easy to talk about, all the things you thought were so easy to say, you know, you thought it was so easy to just be yourself. And then suddenly it's like, something comes over you and it's so hard to just let your guard down and just talk, you know? So I feel like I've been walking through something sort of similar lately, just moving, you know, traditionally I've been a writer and an author, and that's become a medium that's become fairly comfortable for me. In fact, I coach a lot of writers and sort of feel like I have a handle on that. And then more recently, I've been doing video courses and recording lots and lots of different video content to help writers in what they're doing. And it's like you sit down and I think, this is a subject I know so much about. I could literally talk about it with my, you know, half asleep, with my eyes closed, hands tied behind my back. I could still teach this stuff. And then you put a video camera on me and it's like blank. I can't even think of what I was going to say. So learning to be unfiltered or authentic, completely yourself in all different kinds of situations, I think is definitely a skill, and a skill that, you know, helps you to have a stronger sense of who you are. And yeah.
So I really wanted to talk through some of the authenticity and unfiltered stuff, because I know it's extremely important to both you and I, and I know it's something we both believe in. I think that's one reason why we're such good friends, because our values about certain things are aligned so well. I also think it's important for us to set the tone of being real, because I think that the alternative to that is a sidebar which works its way into our souls and our home and also our businesses. With that said, my hope for the podcast is to illustrate just how important it is for us to be ourselves. So a few weeks ago, you and I launched this site, a brand new website called No Sidebar, which of course is located at nosidebar.com. This was something, from my perspective, that was inspired heavily by what Brian Clark was doing over at further.net. The idea behind what we're doing there is curating content for the audience that we have, which is built around the topics of simple living and so on. As I mentioned earlier, you and I have a very similar outlook on life, so without question, you were the natural fit to have come alongside me with that. What's been your favorite part so far with the project?
Just watching people, I guess, respond to it on Twitter. Watching people, you know, either retweet or, you know, I'll scroll through my feed and see people tweeting stuff that maybe I'm not tagged in it, but just seeing people resonate with the content seems cool.
Well, that's really awesome to hear and makes me want to ask you the next question. But before I get there, I want to, you know, do you remember that call we had a few weeks back on Skype where we were talking about the fears of missing out and so on?
I think what we talked about on that call too was how hard it is from a personal perspective. You know, you believe these things about how good it is to be authentic and transparent. And then when it really comes time to do it, how really, truly hard it is. I think you and I both talked about how even still every now and then, at least I will on Twitter, I guess I won't put this on you, but I'll want to say something and think, oh no, I can't say that on Twitter. People would unfollow me. Or, you know, I want to say something on my blog that I'll just think, oh no, I can't say that. That's not something you can say in public.
Well, I can totally relate to the I can't say this stuff in public stuff. And I know that because every time I go to close out my Facebook tab, I'm prompted with the box that asks me if I'm sure I want to close out. And that's because I started writing something that I decided not to publish. Well, there was a moment during that conversation we had on Skype where I stopped and said something like, this is a great conversation we're having. We should have recorded it. Well, after I hung up, the wheel started turning in my head, and I had this crazy idea of you and I getting on Skype each week and recording our calls with no agenda. Seems like you and I riffing about these kinds of things would make for some really neat audio content, don't you think?
I mean, this is what we would do, you and I would do anyway, even if we weren't recording it. So might as well put it to good use, right? So, Brian, what do you hope No Sidebar becomes?
That's a really good question, and one that I suspect will change as we move forward with the show together. What I will say is that I want to be intentional about talking about our stories, as I think they make up so much of who we are and hope that will help others in their journey. I love where the site is going, and I think for the most part, I'd like to see the podcast head in that same direction. I do want to make sure we stay somewhat on track, though, because after all, the podcast is targeted to folks who are online entrepreneurs and small business owners. Are we thinking the same thing here?
I think, you know, just from you and I spending time together and talking more about this, I mean, first of all, I see so many different overlaps between the book I wrote, Packing Light, and the concept of No Sidebar. Just this idea of being willing to let go of stuff that's not serving a purpose anymore. And I feel like ever since I wrote Packing Light, that's been a theme in my life and, you know, something I really try to hold fast to, even though it's not always easy in different seasons of life. You know, like I kind of laugh now because I wrote Packing Light during a season when I, you know, had quit my full-time job. I was single. I went on this long road trip. I sold pretty much everything I owned except for what would fit in my car. And then when my husband and I first got married, we really had very little stuff. This was right after I had come home from the road trip. We moved from where I lived in Portland, Oregon to Florida. And I mean, I have a really funny story about packing all of my stuff into three small boxes and sending it to Florida just before our wedding. And then, you know, we moved a couple other times and moved only with what would fit in our Toyota Corolla and that the one car we shared. And then now, you know, we just bought a house. We have a lot more room, a lot more storage. It's so easy to just, you know, let your life get full again. Or even if it doesn't have to do with stuff, letting your schedule get full, letting, you know, your mind get full, your soul full of things that noise and just things in your life that you don't need. But just kind of always keeping that attitude or that mentality of I'm willing to let go of the things that aren't serving a purpose for me anymore and things that I don't need is a hard one to keep in the forefront of your mind, but something I really try to live by because, you know, I think at the end of the day, you have more peace because of it. You are happier. You feel lighter. You know, just an all-around better well-being by not having to have so much stuff crammed into your space that you don't actually need or want or use. So I think, you know, I'm excited about this because I think it, you know, for me, it's totally changed the whole way I do my life. And I really think it's improved my quality of life. And I think you would say the same is true for you too. So I'm excited to see how this impacts all the people who are listening and the kinds of conversations it starts, I think will be really fun to hear.
Well, Mrs. Vesterfeld, I don't think I could have said it better myself. And I think that this is a great place to leave things until we get to the next show. The really cool thing about our relationship is that we have a number of mutual friends in our space, which should make having them on the show a natural fit, all the stuff that I know both you and I are looking forward to. To our listeners, thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you like what you're hearing on No Sidebar, the best way to support us is to head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and or a comment. That would be greatly appreciated. For more, head on over to nosidebar.com and sign up for our newsletter. Each week, Allison and I curate the very best and most interesting articles when it comes to designing a simple life, at work, at home, and in the soul. Well, this has been Brian Gardner and Allison Vesterfeld of the No Sidebar podcast, and we look forward to hanging out with you guys again next week.